BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm in Randburg today to talk to Calvo Mawela, the CEO of MultiChoice South Africa, about the extraordinary developments in the past 24 hours around the formerly Gupta-owned television news channel ANN7. MultiChoice held a press conference led by Mawela, at which Naspers CEO Bob van Dijk was also present and participating. MultiChoice has decided not to renew its contract with ANN7, with the company citing the controversies around the channel as the reason. ANN7 will go off-air on DSTV in August. Calvo, first of all, it's good to see you again, and thank you for making a chunk of your time available to talk to Tech Central, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Duncan, and good to see you again.
Let's dive straight into it. I know we are short for time. We've got a lot of ground to cover. My first question is this. Would MultiChoice have renewed its contract with ANN7 even if there wasn't controversy associated with the channel? In other words, was it meeting the viewership numbers you'd have wanted in terms of your contract with the company?
We have considered, so before we decide on terminating a channel, we consider a number of issues that come up. Among those are issues around reputation as well, issues around how the channel has performed, what other regulatory bodies have raised flags around this issue, and in this case, there were a number of PCCSA complaints, and there were a number of adverse findings against us as a result of the conduct of ANN7, and the board applied its mind holistically and decided that we should not renew the contract when it comes to an end.
Okay. Was it meeting viewership numbers, though?
No. It wasn't. Among the performance criteria that were set out, it didn't live up to our expectations.
Okay. So this decision has been coming for some time then.
So what happens, Duncan, is that a channel usually gets given a number of feedbacks, and for a news channel, it takes a little bit longer for it to get traction into the market.
Right.
So we understood even from the beginning that 5 years is a reasonable time to make a judgment on whether it can be able to succeed going forward or not.
Right.
But of course, other issues also propped in.
Okay. Now, some critics, since the press conference was held yesterday, have said that pulling the plug on ANN7 purely because it's controversial is not a good thing, that it silences a voice in the South African discourse, whatever that voice might be. And they say surely it would have been more palatable to say you ended the contract for commercial reasons rather than because of potential PR and commercial damage ANN7 might have been causing to MultiChoice. What would you say to those critics?
No. First thing, let's just be clear. Editorial policies of any channel on our platform lies with that particular channel, and as a journalist, I think you'll agree with me that you guard that very jealously, and we agree with you that we should not interfere with any editorial policies of the channels on our platform. The issues that we face is that as the channel progresses over a number of years, we have to look at it holistically. Mm-hmm. Performance is among the biggest issues that you consider, and if it doesn't perform, you have discussions with the particular channel and see what else can be done to improve and give them feedback from time to time. So it's not like it's only controversy that we have looked at, but it's among the issues that we have looked at. So we looked at the whole thing as to whether we think it can still succeed as a channel or not.
Right, okay. If there was an overriding issue that you felt would have prompted this to happen? I mean, was there one thing? Was it commercial performance? Was it the controversy? Was there an overriding issue that compelled MultiChoice into making this decision?
No, I don't think it was any one particular issue. Uh-huh. All the issues are considered and holistically, then they come up to a decision. And it's out of the board findings that they said, these are the issues that we felt are making us uncomfortable with right. continuing with ANN7.
Okay. Now, I've seen a lot of people on social media and elsewhere, internet forums, etc., saying that they've cancelled their DStv contracts because MultiChoice continued to carry ANN7 on its platform. How much of an impact was continuing to carry this channel having on your subscriber numbers? Are you able to quantify that number as opposed to, say, people cancelling because they prefer a new competitor like Netflix, for example?
Yeah, let me just put into context. We don't usually give out numbers because they are commercially sensitive. Sure. But just to give you a glimpse, we had our best November ever.
Okay.
And the issue broke out in November. And I'm saying that with humility, Duncan, because people then, despite all the issues that have been raised, we have explained ourselves as to what we did at that particular point in time. And I think people are giving us the benefit of the doubt to say there is explanation towards everything that has happened. Our December as well has one of the best Decembers that we have had thus far. So, and I think that says it all, that we are a good company overall. But of course, there are issues that we could have done better, and the findings of the investigation also confirms that there are mistakes that we have done as management, and we need to rectify those mistakes. We need to win public trust, and that's the message that we are bringing to everybody to say we're really sorry for what we have done with all the mistakes that have been identified, and we'll take it within our stride and make sure that we do better going forward.
I want to talk a bit more about those mistakes a bit later in the podcast, but Marion Tam from the Daily Maverick penned a column yesterday, which I'm sure you've seen, accusing MultiChoice of bending in the political wind. While President Jacob Zuma held sway over the political landscape, it was politically expedient to carry the Gupta channel on your network. Now that there's a new sheriff in town, you decide to pull the plug on the Gupta channel. What were your thoughts on Marion's column yesterday?
No, we've already owned up that we made mistakes, and some of the mistakes was not acting quick enough in terms of this channel. And once we realized that there was a public groundswell around this issue, as you remember, we sanctioned an investigation, the board sanctioned an investigation. So it was only right that you wait for the outcome of the investigation, let the board apply its mind into what has been conducted, and come up to a conclusion on what needs to be done next. And we followed that procedure. So it's not really political expediency that we're doing now.
So you weren't bending in the political wind?
No, we are not bending in the political wind.
Okay. So let's go back to when the ANN7 deal was originally done. It was about 4 or 5 years ago now, right?
Yes.
Okay. You say the state capture allegations hadn't really surfaced at that point when you originally did the deal.
The extent
of the state capture
allegations.
When did MultiChoice become concerned about the potential public relations damage that being associated with the channel was causing? And why did it take so long for MultiChoice to do something about it?
So if you start looking at events at that particular point in time, the only event that you can pick up, you can say the landing of the guests at Waterkloof, which created a public storm. We looked at it, and we felt that it's not sufficient enough for us to be able to raise matters and raise alarm bells at that particular point in time. And it only became much clearer after the Gupta leaks have come out. We reacted very slowly.
Why so slowly?
That is the mistake that we did.
Right.
Yeah, that is the mistake that we did, and we own up to that. We reacted very slowly as management. We could have just immediately raised this matter with the board to say, as board members, please look at this matter because this is one of the people that own a channel on our platform. And it was only when the public outrage began to kick in that we then responded. And we have owned up to that, and we are sorry for that. And there is nothing further that we can do except to accept our mistakes and apologize to the public profusely.
Okay. I want to ask a bit about this, though. The NASPERS CEO, Bob van Dijk, who was at the press conference yesterday, said, and I'm quoting here, "The allegations regarding ANN7 have caused me a great deal of concern. Reading the news coverage in November, that is not the kind of messaging you want to see about your company," end quote. At the time of the news reports late last year, NASPERS chairman Koos Becker, van Dijk's predecessor and clearly still very influential in NASPERS, went on to various radio stations talking to Bruce Whitfield and others and was adamant that ANN7 represented a voice inside the ANC at a crucial point in South Africa's democracy and taking it off the air would be bad for our democracy. What changed between then and yesterday? Because clearly the messaging has changed.
The messaging from MultiChoice perspective?
No, the messaging,
or from NASPERS,
the messaging that Koos Becker was giving in November as a representative of NASPERS is quite different to the messaging that you were providing yesterday.
No, I don't think it's contradictory if I read the message well. The message that Koos came up with, he said among the issues that he thought mattered at that particular point in time is that the ANC was going into a heated debate. Fight around an election, and he felt that it would be inappropriate to take a channel. It would look like taking sides in the battle for who wins power in the ANC. However, he did not say that it was not of concern to MultiChoice and NASPERS. And NASPERS also was part of the decision making that said we agree with MultiChoice. MultiChoice has to investigate this issue and come up with its findings. And they've accepted the findings of the MultiChoice board.
Okay. I mean, there were specifically, Koos Becker's comments were around the ANN7 was giving voice to, he didn't use the word faction, but let's call it a faction in the ANC. We've since had the ANC elective conference, but there are still two broad factions in the ANC. Is there not a need for there to be a news channel that represents one of those factions, or has that gone, in your view, gone away since the ANC elective conference?
So I'm trying to put my understanding of the context of the comments that have been made.
Yeah.
And what I understand is, Koos said they are going through an election.
Right.
As they go through an election, it might be seen as taking sides of in terms of news. That's how he had explained it. However, an investigation has been conducted now. It has been concluded.
Mm-hmm.
The board has considered the issues and the findings and the recommendations that came out. And they've accepted the recommendation. And one of the recommendations is that we should not renew ANN7 when it comes to an end. And let's open up to a new black-owned channel. And we'll come up with a new criteria for who qualifies for that open bid.
Okay. Let's talk about the mistakes that you say MultiChoice has made. You were slow to respond. But what were some of the other mistakes you made in handling the ANN7 matter?
Yeah. One of the issues that they've raised is that we failed to conduct a comprehensive due diligence when we're contracting with ANN7. The other issue is that that we have just mentioned that we waited for the public controversy to take hold and then only then responded, which we already apologized for. And the other issue that they've raised is that there was a poor communication management on our side. We could have done our management communication much better. The other issue was that the lobbying efforts that have been done on a number of on an issue regarding the proclamation, perhaps as management, we could have done it much better.
Right.
And they've came up with recommendations on what actions management need to take on those.
Okay. So if MultiChoice management was responsible for the mistakes and now has admitted to them and apologized for them, is it really fair to take ANN7 off the air? Is it really ANN7's fault?
Yeah, so there are management issues that have come up.
Yeah.
And there are issues that they reflected on with regard to ANN7 itself. And I've already mentioned that the issues that they were concerned about around ANN7 was reputational damage, was the quality and the performance of the channel, and lastly, that we were dragged into the PCSA and a number of advert findings were made against us.
So there were mistakes on both sides, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it was said at the press conference yesterday that no one at MultiChoice is going to be fired over the handling of this or even necessarily censured. The management team has taken collective responsibility. Isn't that a bit of a cop-out? Isn't it like saying we've made a terrible mistake, but no one is going to be punished? Why not? Surely someone should be held to account here.
Yeah. If you look at what the findings say, the findings look at what actually happened in this instance. In this instance, they realize that we could have tightened our processes much better. These are processes that we do from time to time, but on hindsight and reflection, they think management should have tightened the processes much better. And therefore, for you to ask somebody to leave the company just because there are some tightening that need to be done, mm-hmm. on lobbying efforts, for instance, there are no guidelines, there is nothing of a policy or a legal instrument that we could use, and hence they're saying, come up with guidelines going forward. So if you look at the nature of those mistakes that were done, I do not believe that it warrants any dismissal of anybody, and the board also felt that it does not warrant any dismissal of anybody.
Okay. Let's talk about the mechanics of the multi-choice deal with ANN7. How much did you pay the company in total, and why were there so many revisions to the channel supply agreement regarding the amounts you paid to ANN7 over the years?
Let me start by explaining that amendments to contract are not peculiar to ANN7. As channel providers come to us from time to time, they might request amendments along the contract terms. And we have done amendments for various other channels as well in the past. In terms of the number, as you know, it's a confidential number, but let's play around a ballpark of around 500 million or so, which then gives you an idea of more or less how much it will cost. Yeah, in total over the period, yeah.
Okay. Okay, but it was the escalation in the numbers, I think, that caught people's attention. The numbers jumped massively. It wasn't a minor increment in the amounts you were paying to ANN7. It was a massive jump. What justified that?
Yeah, so when we started, we knew exactly how much it cost to run a news channel because we were already having discussions with SABC around the news channel as well. Mm. So we had a ballpark number that we knew that to. Which should be sufficient for somebody to run a news channel. And when ANN7 launched, it became apparent that they are not going to succeed because they needed further investment, and they came to us and said, guys, with what we have at the moment, we really can't get this going. But as you know in business, I try to pay as little as possible. You try to make as much money as possible from me. So those were the kind of discussion that we went. And up until we got to the number that we felt it's the ballpark number that we think a news channel cost, that's the time that we ended further negotiations on the commercial terms and said, we'll look at whether they meet their performance targets.
Okay. So you've denied that these payments to ANN7 and these increases in amounts, the amount you paid up front in 1 year, had anything to do with political lobbying or trying to influence the Ministry of Communications through the Guptas, which owned the channel at the time?
Yes. There is no link between the two. Those were different issues that we're dealing with, and I don't see any link.
Okay. Now, eMedia Investments, which owns ETV and ENCA, put out a strongly worded statement quite late last night attacking you over comments that you made at the press conference yesterday. I'm sure you've seen them. But for the benefit of our listeners, I just want to repeat a few sections of it. They said, eMedia Investments is contracted to provide 5 channels to DSTV on a non-exclusive basis, the same basis as ANN7 provides its news channels to MultiChoice. Furthermore, the provision of a 24-hour news channel, ENCA, as well as Afrikaans News Bulletins for CakeNet are provided on an exclusive basis. eMedia continued, these services are incomparably more extensive than the ANN7 offering and attract substantially larger audiences on the DSTV platform. The total amount currently received from MultiChoice for all of the services is significantly below the amount suggested by both the MultiChoice statement and subsequent comments made in the Q&A session yesterday. The overstatement of the amount payable to justify amounts paid in respect of ANN7 is distressing. eMedia then added the suggestion made by Mr. Mawela that questions have not been asked of the multi-choice agreement with ENCA is misplaced. The amount pursuant to an ordinary commercial contract such as eMedia's is irrelevant when it comes to the issues facing multi-choice and their relationship with ANN7. That relationship, which has been ventilated in the media and the court of public opinion, details serious allegations of bribery, corruption, and impropriety. What is your reaction to the eMedia statement?
Yeah. I think it's taking it overboard in terms of how they've crafted their statement, but I'm not going to get into a tit-for-tat fight with ETV. We have got a good relationship with them.
Do you?
Yes, we've got a very good relationship with them. And we will be engaging with ETV on this matter. Safe to say, I think they didn't understand the context under which I mentioned their name into the press statement and even answering that. And I rather prefer, Duncan, that I engage with them personally and explain myself to them, and rather than getting into a tit-for-tat type of a conversation around the issues that they've raised. Yeah.
Fair enough. Did you do the deal with ANN7 originally because you were concerned about how powerful ENCA was becoming on your bouquet?
No, not at all. What happened was, at that particular point in time, of course, discussions with ENCA as well were not going very well. We were afraid that we might lose the only private news channel on our platform. And AN7 then came in, made a proposal to us, and management considered the proposal, and that's how then we ended up signing AN7.
Okay, so no relationship whatsoever. You didn't need another news channel on DSTV to help you in your commercial negotiations with eMedia?
No. So what you'll understand is that once you have realized that there is audience and appetite for news channels on your platform, and then the current private local news channel, we are struggling to have an agreement in terms of a renewal of the contract, and somebody else comes and makes a pitch, looking at the commercial considerations, as management, we think it's a good idea. It made sense for us to have another private local news channel on our platform at that point.
Okay. Calvin, let's talk about encryption in digital terrestrial television. I know we've spoken on the subject quite extensively in the past. Let's talk about the channel supply agreement first with the SABC. Mm-hmm. We know that MultiChoice executives, Nolo Letele, the chairman, and MTS Patel, the former CEO and now head of Naspash Video Entertainment, exerted enormous pressure on the SABC to include a clause in the channel supply agreement that the public broadcaster not carry its channels on an encrypted platform. It's been suggested that MultiChoice tried to use that agreement to subvert government policy at the time, which was in favor of encryption. First of all, does MultiChoice regret playing hardball with the SABC on this issue, especially given that the SABC was in a seriously weakened state at the time and in desperate need of the deal being signed?
You know, Duncan, if you think of us, we negotiate very hard. We are very clear about what our position is in each and every negotiation that we do. We had commercial considerations that we wanted to achieve in terms of our negotiation with the SABC. We made it clear to them. However, even if you look at the discussions that happened, at the end of the discussion, it was very clear that it's left up to the SABC itself to make a determination as to whether they accept the provisions that we had requested in that. As to whether, because the SABC was in a weaker position or not, I think if government really felt strongly, because they said they're going to refer our negotiations also to government, if government felt very strongly, they should have told the SABC that you can't go with this provision. And
but
it
why
was only after...
Why include it in the first place?
Yeah, so it was commercial consideration. First of all, we don't believe in encryption, as we have alluded in a number of times.
But the government
before.
Was saying at the time that they were in favor of encryption. Eunice Karim had a policy in favor of encryption. So it looked like you were trying to go through the back door and subvert government policy on the issue at the time.
No. We made it clear to the SABC what our position is. The SABC had to go to government. If government had insisted for sure with the SABC that in terms of their policy, they are going for encryption, I think they could have come back with a different outcome. And they made it clear to us in their letter when they sent to us to say the executive management and the board of the SABC, after having due consideration, have decided to go ahead with the provisions as set out in our proposals. So it was solely up to the SABC to make a determination on this issue.
But you knew the government policy on encryption at the time. Why try to force the issue through this clause, which probably wouldn't have made any difference to the outcome of the deal?
Remember, at that particular point in time, it was not a final policy of government. It was in draft form. We had made submissions. A number of people had made submissions, many for and some against. And government had not finalized the issue. So it was still up to government to finalize the issue. As far as we're concerned, it was still a debate that was raging, and the SABC was entitled to make a determination together with shareholders, government.
But surely it was government's decision to make, not something that should have been included in a commercial channel supply agreement.
So in terms of our negotiation, Duncan, we made a provision considering our commercial, making commercial considerations into the contract.
Yeah.
And we made it clear to them what we wanted. As to what government eventually is going to decide, it was still up in the air because government had not published a final policy. If the SABC had felt strongly that we are going beyond what is required in the commercial terms, they could have told us so, that this provision is problematic and we could have reflected on it.
Mm. But you really were bullying the SABC, weren't you, over this issue?
No, I don't think we were bullying
the SABC.
They
needed that money.
I don't think we were bullying the SABC. The SABC has a good shareholder in terms of government, which are able to support them. So I do not think they were really dependent on this deal for the SABC to really survive. Mm. There are many other options that they had in terms of getting their business to survive. And just because we put this provision, they could have, if they felt very strongly, I think they should have made a determination that they do not want to continue with this contract.
Okay. So if you were to go back again and do that deal again, that negotiate that deal with the SABC again, would you have done it the same way?
I think, Duncan, hindsight is a perfect science, because there are many other issues that could have come up.
Right.
We could have had another debate with government getting involved, and which sometimes people feel government should not be involved in commercial negotiations. As to whether there could be an improvement in the way we interact with the SABC, perhaps yes, there could be another improvement in the way we deal with the SABC and how much we negotiate and how we do things differently going forward. But as to the specificity of the issues that we can deal with, I'm not sure if I can indicate this specific issue we could have done X, Y, Z. But I'm saying we have had interaction with the new board.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good conversation that we have had with them, and we think we can build on that. This is our learnings that we should take, and let's see if we can improve on the experiences that we have had on this issue.
Okay. Now, we all know that MultiChoice and ETV were in a major battle over encryption. I'm not sure that battle is even over yet. As I think you know, I happen to agree that encryption is a bad idea.
Mm.
But did MultiChoice not overstep a boundary in being so aggressive on the issue? And I'm not only talking about the SABC here, but also the way MultiChoice aligned with certain black-owned prospective set-top box manufacturers. It was almost as if it was a battlefield, and people picked sides, and there was no opportunity for leeway on either side. It was mm-hmm. it was a head-on, full-blown, ugly confrontation. Was that really necessary? Was it necessary for the industry to become so polarized and aggressive with each other?
Yeah. I think to some extent you are right. We could have maybe tried to engage a little bit more. We could have tried to have several meetings to try to resolve this issue. It came to a head, and everybody stuck to their guns and really battled it hard. But I do not think there is anything untoward in terms of the way the fight was. It's normal for people to battle it out like this. As to whether we could improve on how, out of the learnings of that, as to whether we could improve on relationship building in terms of where differences occur and how do we bridge the gap going forward, I think we could definitely improve on that. And let's take it as learnings as well in this regard, that we should, as an industry, try to collaborate more where there are differences, find a much better way of debating the differences, and try to see if we can find common ground going forward.
Was it a giant clash of the egos?
I don't think so. I think it was because it was a fundamental question as to whether encryption is good or encryption is bad.
Right.
And people stuck to their position that some say encryption is good, some say encryption is bad. And fundamentally, if you look at all the other countries that have gone through digital migration, they've also battled it out till almost the 11th hour. it becomes contentious, it becomes heated, but eventually they come to a conclusion and move on. With us, I think it protracted for too long, and decisions could have been made a little bit earlier in as far as this issue is concerned. But I think now that the Constitutional Court has made a judgment on this issue, which is the highest court of the land, it clarifies the issue completely, which makes it clear to me that there is nothing more that needs to be debated about this issue. They've looked at rationality. They said it was a rational decision. They looked at legality. They said it was legal. They looked at whether she acted within executive powers to make that determination. They came to a conclusion that it was within executive powers. So I feel we have finally come to the conclusion of this issue.
They didn't rule on the actual matter at hand, though. They as far as I understand it, the Constitutional Court simply found that Faith Mutambi, the minister at the time, had the constitutional powers to do what she did, but any future minister would also have those constitutional powers, and if that future minister wanted to, could again reverse the decision.
I do not read the judgment that way, unfortunately. I read the judgment to be speaking about rationality, which was an issue that was raised, and about legality. And rationality goes to the essence of whether it was a rational decision to come to the conclusion to that not including encryption is in the best interest of the country, and they came to the conclusion that yes, it is in the best interest of the country. So those that are arguing that there is no a decision in terms of rationality, I think they are mistaken in the judgment.
Calvin, I know this next question I would love to actually address to Imtiaz Patel, but I've got you in front of me, so apologies about that. But I want to ask about the full-page Sunday newspaper advertisements that were taken out. I think they were in 2014 or 2015, somewhere around there, attacking the Minister of Communications, Yunus Karim, over his policy in favor of encryption. Does MultiChoice regret that now? And why did the company feel emboldened to take out those ads? And did Chris Becker give his go-ahead to publish them?
No, the decision around taking an advert, it was a MultiChoice decision, first of all. And if you listen to my statement, I also made it clear that the issue we regret about this is that from the media's perspective, it looked like we are casting aspersions on the credibility of Minister Yunus Karim.
Yes.
No, he's a credible man. He's got integrity and is honorable and is honest. That was not the issue. The issue that we're trying to address to him was that here are two choices in terms of technology. We believe that our view is the right view in terms of public interest and so forth and so forth. So we don't cast any aspersions to the minister, and we regret any such innuendos if they came across that way.
Why did you take that ad out? I mean, it was clearly confrontational. There was no doubt it was confrontational. There's also no doubt that MultiChoice disagreed strongly with the minister's position. I spoke to multiple MultiChoice executives at the time, and there was a strong view that Yunus Karim was making the wrong decision. There's no doubt in my reading of that advertisement anyway, and certainly the plenty of other people who've read that advertisement, was that this was a confrontational ad. You were sticking it to him.
Okay, maybe on hindsight we could come to the same conclusion as yours, but at that particular point in time, we felt that it's the only last way that we can reach out to him and explain why we feel so strongly that encryption is not good for the country. And that is how we came to that conclusion. And like you are saying, maybe on hindsight, we should not have taken it that far. And we accept that.
I mean, if you listen to what Yunus Karim has said about it, including in recent weeks, he certainly took a front when he saw that ad. So if your effort was to try and convince him about encryption, it backfired.
I agree with you. It backfired. And that's why in my statement, I made it very clear that we do not cast aspersions on him. We think he's a man of integrity. He's honest. He was doing what he's supposed to do as a minister. And unfortunately, we differed on that. But of course, on hindsight, we realized that, as you are saying, it really alienated us completely with the engagement with the minister.
Calvin, just as we wrap up, I want to ask you a broad question. Is there something wrong with the broadcasting industry in South Africa? We've needed to conclude digital migration a long time ago. It's holding back the country. The mobile operators desperately need the spectrum that Mnet and ETV and the SABC are using. Why have the broadcasters not looked at the bigger picture instead of squabbling over these issues and got on with the project? Isn't the bigger picture more important than the narrow commercial interests of South Africa's broadcasters?
Yeah, I think there were a number of events, Duncan, as you have followed, you've followed the discussions very, very, very closely.
Yes.
And to some extent, it dragged on for too long. And there should have been a stage where a decision has been made, implementation is done, and we move on. That could have helped stabilize the industry and move on. And as long as the discussion keeps on dragging, people will still hold on to the belief that they can eventually convince the other party that this is the best way to go. We kept on hoping that our arguments are much stronger. We think it's the best, at least on this issue, it's in the best interest of the country, and therefore we should be able, we should prevail in terms of the argument that we have put forward. And that's why then this thing, but I blame it solely on that, how long it dragged in terms of the debates happening. If a decision had been made earlier and just moved on, that could have been the best way forward, in my view.
Calvin Mawela is CEO of MultiChoice South Africa. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Duncan.